Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 166, stanzas 3, 4, 5, and 6. How blessed are they whom thou dost choose to come and in thy courts abide, communing in thy holy house with good, we shall be satisfied. Psalter 166, stanzas 3 through 6.
the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon. You can find recorded in the Gospel according to Matthew, enter of chapter 28. Matthew 28, but first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew chapter 28. And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and it run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night, and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, we have heard it in these moments out of thy holy word, that thou, before that thou didst ascend into heaven, did send out thy disciples, that they may go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Oh, what nation is more greatly blessed than thy nation, than thy people, whom thou dost bring under the wings of the triune God, whom thou dost care for as the Almighty God, whom thou dost protect with all the host of heaven, whom thou dost feed with thy almighty power, whom thou dost care for, whom thou dost continue in this world, and whom thou dost take unto thyself into that eternal glory, thy eye that is forever upon thy people, thy care that is always round about them. They are under the protection of the mighty angels, so that there is no one that is able to do them harm. Oh, that we may receive each and every one a desire also to come under that shadow of thy wings, that we also may receive a little of that blessed communion wherewith that thou dost favor thy people. Oh, they were to teach them, to teach that nation, to observe all the things that thou dost bid us to do. And thou sayest unto us, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, that it may be taught unto us, not only by the ministers and the elders, and not only by the parents and by the teachers, and by way of word and example, but that thou mayest bring it in our hearts, and that uppermost in our life, and uppermost in our in the importance, that first place may receive that kingdom of heaven, that treasure, that it may be in heaven, and that all the things on the earth, though important, may be secondary, that we may be given to leave them a little in thy hands, for thou wilt care for thy own, that it may be a little without anxiety and without care, that we may do the labors of our hands and the duties that thou layest upon us in this world, with a heart that may go out after, with a heart that may seek thee while thou art to be found. Thou dost command us to depart from the ways of sin, or that we may be given to see it as a great evil, that we may be given to see it as a contagious disease, that thou mayest root it out of our hearts, and that we may be given also to keep it 6 feet away, yea, far away from each and every one of us, that we would not be able to touch it, and that we may be cleansed from it, for it will bring us into the dust of death. Oh, do show to us the leprosy of our hearts, for thou sayest, out of the heart cometh forth all the wickedness. Oh, we carry it with us through this world, and we cannot rid ourselves of it unless thou thyself dost wash us and cleanse us, dost forgive us, then the punishment is taken away, And then there is a beginning of that cleansing and that renewal, which is in the desire in the heart of thy children, and which will be completed one day when they will lay down this body of sin and death, and will be received without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. O Lord, wilt thou give each and every one of us to take heed for our life's sake, that we may be given to see and to feel that this life that is flying away, oh, that even as a stream that is running, that it is bearing all its sons away, oh, that there is so short a time here below, that we may be given to prepare, as we prepare for journeys in this world, for that great meeting with Thee, and that we may number our days to see how that they are shortening week by week, that it is shorter and shorter, and soon that it will come upon us. Oh, may it not be as a thief in the night, but that it may be as welcome unto us, even as it was welcome unto thy servant, who did say, I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, give us a desire then to be with thee. Oh, thou didst promise thy disciples, lo, I am with thee, always even unto the end of the world. Oh, Lord, that was not just to the end of their life, but it was unto the end of the world, even unto the end of all the sending of thy servants. Oh, Lord, are we not thy servant? Oh, have we run, O Lord, of our own accord? Have we gone, O Lord, without thy sending? Didst thou not speak unto us? And didst thou not promise us to say, and I have put my words in thy mouth? O Lord, hast thou not shown it in the time that is gone by? When thou hast feelingly been on our right and on our left hand, oh, we ask it of thee again, and we sin it away each and every day. We are unworthy of the least of all thy notice and attention, but wilt thou take reasons out of thyself, and wilt thou fulfill thine own promise, and that it may be for this our flock's benefit, those that may be among us, and those that are also in their own homes. Wilt thou watch over each and every one? And wilt thou grant an undeserved blessing upon this thy holy day, cared out for all the needy, the sick in this world, those that have serious diseases, those that lay in the hospital, and when there is often so much fear? O Lord, that thou may comfort, as we have heard in this morning, and with that only comfort that is in life and in death, and that thou may supply for all the doctors and the nurses and the first responders and all those that do care for others. Remember our own nursing home and all that are therein, and wilt thou watch over and protect them also, and look upon all the children and the youth in the days in which we are living, in the circumstances which they are in also. Lord, wilt thou help them in all these circumstances, and the parents also, look upon us together then as a congregation. Grant us an undeserved blessing in this afternoon hour. Bless the efforts that are put forth also, that we may gather in a little way together once again. And wilt thou forgive and take away all of our many sins? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter number 86, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Let all the earth Jehovah fear. Let all that dwell both far and near in awe before him stand 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 86. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion of God's Word that was read to you, Matthew chapter 28, and thereof the 18th verse. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So far the words of our text. All power given unto Christ. First, what that power is. Second, what that power is for. All power given unto Christ. First, what that power is. And second, what that power is for. Power, that is a word that is often touching the heart of God's people. Because God's children, they desire power. They do not desire just to come to church and to sit and to listen and to go home again. But they want to feel something. They want to know something. They want to be affected. Power. What is power? If we will ask our young people what power is, then maybe they will come to us with what they have learned in school. And they say, well, power, that is the ability to do work. Power, that is the rate at which work may be done. If someone may do work very, very quickly, or with much strength, then we say that person, he has much power. That is what they learn in the school. That's power. That is the ability to do something, to have an effect. That is a very important concept, because this whole world that cannot exist without power. You will make young people a piece of furniture. Then you say that piece of furniture that has no power. It cannot do anything. It is dead. But if you will make maybe the older ones something like a battery, and you say that battery that has power, that can do something, that can move the hands of a clock, or that power that can start up the battery, okay, battery can start up a tractor or a car. It has the ability to do something, to make something go. But that battery has no power in itself, if you will leave it. Then soon we say, well, it is dead. It has no more power in it. Thus it is dependent. It is dependent upon us. It is dependent upon a human being to give it power. What is then the ultimate source? Where does all power come from? Say, all power that comes from God. God, he has created the universe, and the ultimate source of all power is him, in him. He has given power in the sun that shines upon the earth and that gives power in the earth, that sun. Without the sun, there would be no power here upon earth. There would be no fuels upon the earth. There would be no fossil fuels also on the earth. The power in the sun. But that sun, that is dependent. It is dependent upon the ultimate power. It is dependent upon the power of God. This power that is a very precious, it is a very necessary thing that we often take for granted in this world. Then we do not think about power. All power is given unto me. Our first point, that is, what that power is. Why do we say that? Because these words, they need an explanation. If we take the words all by themselves, then it seems like there is some kind of a contradiction in those words. Even our children, they will say, well, what does that mean? All power is given unto me is not the Lord Jesus actually God? How can power be given unto the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he not actually the creator of all things? That seems contradictory. And indeed, we would say yes. Yes, you are right. We read in God's word that he is the former of all things. When it speaks in the book of Proverbs about wisdom, who is Christ himself. And then it says when the foundations of the world, they were set. And then he says, behold, I was there. Thus God himself, Christ as God, he has all of that power. So how can it be that Christ, he says here, all power is given unto me. What is the meaning of this? Well, we read that the Lord Jesus, he also says, when he speaks about the end times and the second coming of Christ in this world, he says that no man knoweth that day, no man knoweth that hour. Not the angels, neither the Son, but the Father only. That is also to us incomprehensible. Say, how is that possible that the Son of God, that was hidden from him, that he did not know the day and the hour even of his second coming? Does he not know everything? And thus, it is evident that the Lord Jesus, when he has come into this world, he has laid something aside. As that divine being, then he has laid aside not his knowledge, not his power, but he has laid aside the use of that divine knowledge, the use of that divine power in the fullest extent of the word. So that boys and girls, when he was a little child, then he had to learn to speak. He had to learn how to walk like every other little child. He came as a true human being. And as a human being, then he also had to learn. And thus, he has laid aside the full use of that divine power. But now the Lord Jesus, we have just read, he is risen from the dead. Thus, the Lord Jesus has begun the state of his exaltation. And thus it was in the state of his humiliation that he has laid aside the use of that power. And when he has risen from the dead, then he did no longer need to lay aside the use of that power. But he may take the use of that power unto himself again. Is that then thus what the Lord Jesus is speaking about? That he now is taking unto himself again the use of his divine power which he had laid down before. And we must say, no, that is not precisely what the Lord Jesus is here speaking about. Because the power that the Lord Jesus laid down, the Lord Jesus has laid down of himself. And that power did not need to be given unto him again. But just like his life, he says, I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. So that power that he laid down is a power he laid down willingly himself, and a power which he has taken again unto himself. But he does not say that here. He does not say, I take again all power unto myself that I have laid down. No, he says, All power is given unto me. Thus, he is speaking about a power that is distinct from the power that he had in and of himself. That is, as it were, when he had to come into this world. Now he says, I am given here another power. So what is that then? Well, where is the Lord Jesus? Who is the Lord Jesus speaking to? We read here, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And so they go. He has appointed them, and they have to go. They are in Jerusalem, and they have to go all the way to Galilee, up into the mountain. That was not just close by, and they had to walk to get there, and thus that takes some effort. And the Lord Jesus has promised them that he will see them there. The Lord Jesus will visit them. So then there is no effort. There is no effort that is too much for them in order that they may receive a visit from the Lord. Or is that also in our own life? Then it is good that there is a desire to come up unto the house of the Lord. Is that desire now because that we also would like to receive a visit? We can receive it in our home, sure. Under these circumstances, certainly. But what would we do now? Because if the Lord would say to his people, yonder in such a place, in Banff, way in the mountains, and there I will come, and there I will visit your soul, then you will see certain people, and they are going, and they are going with a desire in their heart that they may receive a visit from the Lord. And he comes. He comes. They see him. They worship him. What do we read? And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Oh, their wretched unbelief. But some doubted. That wretched unbelief that is in their most holy duties, that is in their most holy enjoyments. We read they worshipped him. Thus, in that worship, as the people they pray, as the people they sing, as the people they listen, in those most holy duties, oh, then there is sometimes that doubt. Who was this? These were the disciples. These were whom the Lord Jesus, he was going to send out into all the nations of the whole world. They were the ones that had to make disciples of all the people that were in the Lord. Disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is just of these persons, of these men, that you read, but some doubted. What a burden. Our doubts and fears in the worship of God's true people. That is like a thorn in their flesh. Did you ever get a splinter, boys and girls? A splinter, maybe in your hand? That splinter, you say you cannot sleep. You cannot sleep, you cannot rest. And if you try to do something, you will push something, you will do some work, and you cannot do it with all your might because there is pain in your hand, a splinter, a thorn. That is what that doubt that does in the life of God's children. They cannot get complete rest. They cannot completely sleep well because they lack that assurance in their own heart for themselves. Then there is some doubting. And when they will go to do that which requires the exercise of faith, then they cannot do it with all their might, because that doubt that is giving to them this pain. But what does our text say? It says, Jesus came and spake to them. Thus the Lord Jesus, he comes closer to them. The Lord Jesus will give to them a clearer view of himself. He will give them to enter in, as it were, to his very presence, in the nearness unto himself. Oh, what takes away, what removes doubts and fears in the heart of a man better than the nearness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he say? He says to them, he says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Now these disciples, they knew the Lord Jesus for 3 years. For 3 years they knew him. And they knew him in the state of his humiliation. There they have seen, experienced the weakness of his flesh. He was a true man. They saw his tears. And when he was tired, then they saw that too. Oh, they saw how weak he was. And now it seemed even that he had succumbed to that weakness. And when he had suffered and when he died, just like as if he was one of us, just like a helpless person who did not have power against all of his enemies that came against him to destroy him, to put him to death, that he was helpless. And now in the resurrection, then it was very different. Because he has risen from the dead, there is no man that is able to rise from the dead. So that power of the Lord Jesus that was evident in his resurrection, and now it is the first step of his exaltation. And now he speaks of this. He speaks of this to his disciples. And he says to them, it is never going to be the same anymore. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What power does he speak about? And why did he come? What work did he just finish? What has he just accomplished? The Lord Jesus has come as the mediator. He has come as mediator into this world. And in that sense, the Lord Jesus, he is speaking here about a power that was delegated. It was delegated to him. He says, it was given unto me. So, not the power that he had before, but a power that is given unto him. Is there power given to people, other people in this world? You say, yes. Other people in this world, they receive power. Who receives power? Well, you say the government receives power. We feel that. They have made decisions, and we follow them. Because they are powerful. They are the magistrates. And the magistrates, they have received a power. Where do they get that power from? Where did they get it from? There are people in this world, they say it's a social contract. Governors get their power because we, as the people, give them that power. We decide that we want someone to rule over us. That is where governments come from. That is the social contract. And because we decide we want governors over us, they receive their power from us. That is not true. That is not true. The power of the governors in this world is a power that comes from God. It is actually an extension of the power that is given to us fathers in our families. That is a power over our children, those who are given into our control. And the Lord Himself then is giving that power. Sure, they may be elected by the people, or they may be a succession of, or however they come into that office, but that power that they receive is a power from that ultimate power where all power comes from. That power is from God Himself. And the Apostle Paul, he says that they must give an account to God. Thus they must answer to God. How that they are using or that they are abusing their power. And thus the Apostle Paul, he says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there are no powers that be but of God. The powers that be, he says, they are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That is why we have some questions from some. They say, why do we not sing? Why do we not sing in church? We come with 50 people together now. And we know the government, they have said that we may not sing. But why don't we, is it not more important to listen to God than to listen to our government? Congregation. We do not sing because we are not Anabaptists. When Guido de Bray has written our Confession of Faith, and that confession was thrown over the castle wall at Tournai, then it contained a protest. And the reformers in that time, they wanted to show to the government that they were not the Anabaptists, because the Anabaptists were those who rebelled against the government. But the Reformed position was that the Bible that declares that we are obedient unto those who govern us. Thus, we do not believe in civil disobedience. So is there ever a time that we may not listen to the government? Yes, there are extreme cases where we may not listen to the government. That is, if the government will say that we have to do something that is directly contrary to the Word of God, then we cannot do it, because then we run into a contradiction to the Word of God. And we have just read that out of the Word of God, and that the disciples, they are to teach all those nations to do whatsoever He said, I have commanded you. You say, well, we are commanded to sing, we are commanded to praise the Lord. Well, that is true, of course we are. But the King Solomon, in his wisdom and in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he has written that there is a time. There is a time for everything that is under the sun. We do that too, right? If we have a choir here sometimes, and we say to our children, children, now you do not sing. Now you have to listen. And then we impose that on them. That is not sinful. No, we do not sin when we do that, and we do not sin when we do this, and we listen to our government for such a reason as this. If our government would become oppressive, if our government would begin to say things that are directly contrary to the Word of God and begin to oppress the churches, well, that is one thing, but we may not attribute to someone else motives that are not there. That is sinful. And thus, we obey, when it is possible, our government. They are a delegated power. They receive that power from God. We go back. What is now another delegated power? That is the ecclesiastical powers. That is the powers that are within the church. So we have the civil government, and then we have the ecclesiastical government. And then they also have a power. It is a different power. A different power from the power of the civil government and from judgment in this world. It is a power that is administered through the preaching of the word and through the administration of a Christian discipline. That is a power that belongs to the offices. So now, what power is that? What power is it that the Lord Jesus is speaking about here? He says, all power is given unto me. Well, just like the civil government that is given power for their office, just like the ecclesiastical powers are given unto persons who are placed in that office, so the power that was given unto the Lord Jesus was a power given unto him for his office. That is the office that he was anointed to, that he was appointed to by God. What office is that? That is the office of a mediator. That is the office. The Lord Jesus has come now into the world. He has finished the work he said to his Father that he has commanded him to do, and now he is going to leave the world. That was all for one purpose. That was because he had to fulfill the office of the mediator. That office did not always exist. The office of the mediator. Because there was a time that we didn't need it. If you go back to the first covenant, that is the covenant of works, then you do not read about a mediator. There was no mediator in that covenant. That is an awful thing. But there was no need for a mediator in the beginning of that covenant. That need did not come till afterwards. Till after what? Till after sin came into this world. Because there was no mediator, what happened? Well, then Adam had to leave. He had to go out of the presence of the Lord. No mediator. And that was the necessity, sin. That was what has caused the need for that second covenant, sin. That has caused the need for that institution of that office of mediator. Thus, that office had a great purpose. It is the purpose of mediation. And the Lord Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Why? Because that mediation, to mediate, would take a great power. But let us sing first. Psalter 161, 3, 5, 6, and 8. 3, 5, 6, and 8. My soul in silence wait for God. He is my help approved. He only is my rock and tower, and I shall not be moved. 3, 5, 6, and 8 of Psalter 161.
Thank you.
power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. First, what that power is. Second, what that power is for. What is the purpose of the mediatorial work of Christ? That is to mediate. And our children, they will say, that is to come between, that is to make peace between two disagreeing parties. Thus, it consists of two parts, because there are two parties. There are not one. No, there are two parties. And both of those parties, they must come to agree. Both of those parties, they must be reconciled with one another. Who are those parties? They are God and our soul. And when we think about mediation, then man, he thinks, if only now God would no longer be angry with me. But they do not think that they need also to be changed concerning their thought of God. But there are two. Thus, there are two parts to that mediation. How did that mediator, when did that mediator reconcile his church unto God? See, that was in the state of his humiliation. Was when he was here upon the world. That was when he suffered, when he died, when he has fulfilled the law of God, his active obedience, his passive obedience, and he has brought God into satisfaction. Proof, the resurrection from the dead. Everything that is fulfilled. The Lord, he is no more angry with his people. The Lord, he is reconciled unto his people. But now there is another part. And that other part that has to take place, as it were, in the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, his office of a mediator that did not stop now. He is not finished. He is finished with one part of that. But his work that continues. And that work that needs a very great power. You feel that? The disciples felt that. What a power was necessary. The Lord Jesus says, go out to all the nations of the world and make them lovers of me. Make them followers of me. Did the disciples have power? Could the disciples now do this? They had no power of themselves. And thus the Lord Jesus, he gives them something. He gives them an encouragement before he sends them out. He says, you don't have to do that. He says, all power that is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Because those disciples, they cannot convert a single person. They cannot convince a person of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. They cannot make a man love what he hates. Cannot make a person hate what he loves. They cannot enlighten the mind of a man. They cannot change the will of a person. They cannot give us a new heart, children. Disciples had to experience this. How helpless they were. The Lord Jesus permits that, stays away long enough that they might learn that. So that man, he brings that demoniac boy. He says, can you help us? And they cannot do it. No power. And then they have to learn that they are dependent upon him for that power. This kind, he says, cometh not out but by fasting and prayer. Thus the power that is for the mediatorial office of Christ, and that power that is given unto him, that is a great encouragement to those disciples. Otherwise they can stay home. They need not go. But now they may go. They must go. And they go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They go with the power that Christ says, I am with you always. I am with you always with my power to the end of the world. Does that also give hope to us? Gave hope to the disciples and encouragement unto the disciples. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Power of another person that can be either a threat to us or can be a comfort to us. And our young people, maybe sometimes it is a competition for us, young people. Say, you are in school and you play a game. And you say, he has more power. No, I have more power. I can kick it harder or I can throw it further. Who now has the most power? You say, I want my power to come in the foreground. Can be a competition. And if a person is our enemy, and his power is to us a threat. But if he's our friend, he is very powerful. And he is our friend. And especially when we feel something of our weakness, our vulnerability, and then his power, the power of a friend, then it becomes very, very suitable to us. Begin to look to that power. Maybe we say we'll make use of that power. He's my friend. He's a friend. You ever ask young people, you say, I cannot do this. I ask my friend to come and help me. And together you will do it. And now when those lame people, those blind people, when they were on the earth, they had to experience that they had no power at all. Nothing. Could not give power to their eyes to see, or their legs to walk, their ears to hear. No power. Then they heard of the power. And then every one of them, they heard of that power. And then they say, I want to feel that power. Oh, I want to know that power also for my own life, for my own eyes, for my own ears, for my own legs. And so they cry to him. Oh, that was so suitable to them. All power was with him because of their weakness, because of their helplessness. Is that not the same today? You say, I'm not blind. No. No. Are we not blind? Then it is not suitable to us, indeed. But if we are ignorant, and he has the power to open our soul's eyes. And if he has the power, if he has the power to do what? You know, the Lord Jesus, he does not say that some power is given unto me. No, he says, all power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He does not need us to help him. Now, one finger. You think you have to help the Lord? Does not need our help. You say, maybe I am unconverted. Is that right? Does that mean you cannot be converted? You cannot convert yourself. I hope we may experience that. But do you believe that he can convert you? Do you believe that? Because that is the power that the Lord Jesus is here speaking about. That is especially the power. Those disciples are going to go out. He says it is a regenerating power. You say, I am very unconverted. Oh, I have a cold heart. There is nothing. There is nothing. I'm going to church for many years. And there is nothing. There is not the smallest movement of my heart that goes out after God. I feel it. I am dead. I am dead. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That was the disciples' encouragement. Therefore we preach, not because we have power, but because all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Then he can convert the hardest criminal. Then he can take a heart that is harder than the nether millstone we read in the Bible. And he can break it to pieces. One moment. Really believe that? Do we ask for that? Oh, he has power. What is power? Can accomplish something. It can do something. It can move a load, young people. Power. It can move a load. You know what the power of Christ can do? It can move your heart. Would that not be a wonder? Maybe you say that would be a wonder. If he could move my heart. Do you know what it can do? It can squeeze the tears out of your heart. It can make your heart to melt. In one moment, all power is given unto me. It can save those who are lost. It can bring people into the kingdom of God. It can deliver them from the bondage of sin, of Satan, of death. And he is not just the beginning, he is also the Omega. That means he can finish it, people of the Lord. Oh, the fear is, the thought is, you have to uphold yourself. All that you have received, maybe many years ago, say it is all gone, and I cannot bring it back again. No, didn't give it to yourself in the first place. The power that has come from him, and the power that remains with him. And in one moment, he can put his hand in by the hole of the door and melt that heart, hard heart again. The Alpha and the Omega. He will protect his church. He has power to do it against every one of the enemies, against all persecutions, against all plagues, pestilences. There is no power that is greater than the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no disease, there is no tribulation that can overcome that people. There are many powerful things in the world. There are powerful people in the world. Enemies. Enemies of God. Persecutors of God's people. Powerful diseases in the world. Does the Lord sometimes give them permission to touch his people? Yes, permission. Like Satan got with Job, you may afflict him only this far, no further. Sometimes permission even to take away their life. Jezebel, wicked woman. And she may take the wife of Naboth. Does that mean the Lord is not in power? No. The Lord is taking his people unto himself. And the Lord will bring that people into judgment. Just read the history of Ahab and of Jezebel, all under his direction. All under his power. But neither does that power, Christ, everything in his hand, does that mean that we may just, well, we just put ourselves in danger, we just live as we like because, well, the Lord, he will take care of us. That is what the devil said to the Lord Jesus. Just throw yourself down. The angels, they will take care of you. The Lord Jesus says, no. No. Yes, that is true. The angels will take care of him when it is necessary. But there is a way down. There are steps to get down. And when there are steps to get down, then we use those steps. We do not tempt the Lord because all power is given into his hand. We do not place ourselves in circumstances where we could flee from if we wished, because we say, well, the Lord, he takes care of his people. No, Jacob fled from Esau. So did David flee from Saul. So did Saul himself. He was led down in a basket. And when Calvin had to flee from Paris, then it was also the same. Nicholas Cop. What do you read about the Lord Jesus? That he walked no more in Jewry. They wanted to take him. His time was not yet. He did not remain there. No, he fled away. He used the means. And when we use those means, then the Lord with his power, you say, what if there are no means? Well, then the Lord does not need means either. Though all power, when David, he has to do for that children of Israel, he has to go to fight against Goliath. You say, he placed himself in danger. Indeed, he did. Indeed, he did. But he had a moral duty. He did it for the sake of the name of the Lord. And he did it in great faith. And all that power that is in the hands of Christ, all that did protect him also. Then faith, trust, and the Lord, he puts his stamp of approval upon it. All power that is given unto me in heaven and in earth. O congregation, did we ever lose our own power? Because that has to happen in the first place. Or can you reconcile yourself to God? Do we need to be reconciled to God? Do we think about God? Oh, if a man tries to reconcile himself with God, say, how can he do it? How can he do it? What would you do? What do you do? Say, I try to not sin. That is right. That is good. And how is that going? Can you now, with your life, with your power, with your obedience, can you now reconcile yourself to God? Do you feel anything of the favor of God? Do you feel, do you experience that his anger and his displeasure because of sin is taken away from you? Is there no more conscience of sins? When you try to live a civil life in that city of morality? Cannot be. Cannot be because of the perfection that is required by the Lord. Oh, what greater pleasure does the Lord Jesus Christ now have when a helpless, when a powerless man draws near to him and he is looking unto his great power. When he is supplicating to him, oh, to say to him, oh Lord, I cannot make it right with the Lord. It is impossible. Oh, that is now the delight of whom? The mediator. The mediator. He was given an office. He was given work to do. Didn't take it on himself. Though the Father gave it to him. He says, this is what has to be done because that people, they can't do it. They can't do it. They cannot satisfy me. They cannot live up to the perfection of my law. They cannot pay. They cannot fix what they have done. And therefore, will you do it? Lo, I come. The volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law that is written within my heart. Within my heart. And then a great pleasure. Oh, and that leper. When that leper, that filthy leper, he says, Lord, Lord, I cannot cleanse myself. It is an incurable disease. But if thou wilt, thou canst do it. You know what he said, right, children? You know what he said? I will. I will. Be thou clean. That is his delight. And that is now to his honor. It is to the honor of the office for which the Father himself has sent him and gave him. All power is given unto me. From whom? From his Father. That he may mediate. And that he may bring those who cannot. He may bring them back again. Into his presence. Into his communion. Into his favor. Oh, let us come then. Let us come. Or as that palsied man, he was carried. He could not. Maybe you say that. I cannot come. You say, I do not have feet to go. I do not have hands to take it. Ah, they carried him. And what did he say? Thy sins be forgiven thee. Rise. Take up thy bed. And walk. And what do we read of the multitude? Oh, the multitude saw it. And they marveled. They marveled. And they glorified God who had given such power unto men. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who has all power in thy hands, and thou art able to bless these few simple words. O Lord, bring it in our hearts, that we may be given true saving faith, faith that looks as a helpless and as a needy one. To thy power, that thou would come and heal us, that thou would convert us, that thou would give us a new heart, that thou would give us a new life, that thou would justify us and sanctify us and redeem us, and that thou would reconcile us and take us to thyself. Oh, it all must come from thee. Oh, take us then by heart and by hand, and wilt thou give that encouragement to bow our knees and to cry to thee. Lord, hear us for thy name's sake. Humble us under gifts received also in this afternoon hour. Thy help in the bringing of thy word, and wilt thou bring us safely to our places, and help us each one in this week in the labors of our hands. Give us to meditate in this evening also, and that thou thyself may give thy blessing for soul and body together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 308 stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Not unto us, O Lord of heaven, but unto thee be glory given. In love and truth thou dost fulfill the counsels of thy sovereign will. And what follows, 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 308. Thank you. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.